Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning. Welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very glad you could tune in and join me. I'm very glad to share with you again this morning that I have a returning guest who happens to be a dear friend and ministry partner of many, many years. He is currently serving as the interim pastor of Chinese Community Church located in San Diego, California. He is the author of a wonderful, wonderful book titled Called to High Adventure, The Spirit-Filled Life, and he is also the national co-director of Holy Spirit Renewal Ministries. My very special returning guest this morning is Dr. Clay Ford. Welcome back, sir.
Hey, thank you, Philip. Great to be with you again.
We're going to jump right into the deep again because last week we ran out of time much too quickly as we were turning our attention to speaking of homosexuality, and even more specifically, same-sex marriage. And we left off last week by our discussing with one another, how is it possible that we can put a stamp of approval on same-sex marriage when every biblical example of marriage is always between a man and a woman? And I want to give you opportunity to pick it up from there, Clay, because you were sharing some very important points that we've got to really come back to the truth and the authority of Scripture. Amen?
Amen. We definitely, I think last week I was talking about how, some people point to restrictions on women. They have to wear head coverings. They can't talk in the church, that kind of thing, where Paul says those things. And we were talking about how some of that was the cultural situation of women who spoke in public and women who didn't wear head coverings. The only morally loose women did that. And for a Christian woman to do that would have brought reproach to the gospel. And so some truth that Paul pointed out, he said, I want to be all things to all people that by all means I might win some. That was culturally adapted by him to reach the gospel, both the Jews and the Gentiles. But when it comes to sexual purity, there is no plus and minus. There is no cultural adaptation. There's no place in the Old Testament or the New Testament that affirms sexual sin of any kind.
Yes.
And so we must return to the authority of Scripture.
Yes.
I think you brought up something last week, too, that I didn't get a chance to speak to very much, and that's the ethic of love being... It's like, isn't God love? Aren't we supposed to love people? It says, judge not. Who are we to judge? And that has become just the mantra of those who want to excuse whatever sin they want to indulge in.
Yes.
And I know of pastors who refuse to say a single word about God's holiness or judgment or the wrath of God coming on those who don't repent. I've noted how many pastors with that absolutization of love, they will quote Romans chapter 2, verse 4, where it says, don't you know his kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?
Yes.
And they leave it there. And they don't say what the rest of the verse says. They use that verse out of its context to say that the church needs to lead people to repentance with love. But Paul goes on to say something much more than that. He says, do you show contempt for the riches of kindness and tolerance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you to repentance, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourselves on the day of God's wrath when his righteous judgment will be revealed. There will be wrath and anger. So Paul told the whole truth. He loved people, but it's not loving to tell people you're safe in your sinful lifestyle. That is very unloving.
Yes.
Because the gospel says such were some of you, but now you've been washed, you've been sanctified, you've been justified. Not such are you still. So to tell someone who's engaged in whether it's fornication, adultery, homosexuality, a lifestyle of other sinful practices, any affirmation and embracing, willful embracing of a sinful lifestyle will make us ineligible for the kingdom of God.
Yes. And you know what? I'm sorry to jump in there. What I continue to have conversations regarding is with men and women that are still very much gay identified. They are practicing same-sex scenarios. And my challenge to them is, look, if you want to be gay, that is your choice. God will not jump in and make you do what's right before him. But when you say that homosexuality is okay with God and has the blessings of Christianity, now we have a problem, because that contradicts the heart of the gospel. It contradicts the truth and the authority of Scripture. So again, it's much more than just homosexual practice. We're now in a position to defend the clarity of Scripture. And many of us were kind of boxed into that corner because, again, when statements are being made that this is okay with God and the blessings of Christianity, we have to protect the authority of His Word and God's character. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely. There's such a strong need for the authority of Scripture, and not only that, but a responsible interpretation,
yes.
a conscientious interpretation that shows integrity. Some people use the Bible, quote the Bible out of context or twist things,
mm-hmm.
to make it, you know, to support their point of view.
Yes.
I recently heard about a youth pastor who privately believes in, you know, what is them? Is it Matthew Vine, his book?
Yes.
That tries to justify or reinterpret every scripture and gives an apologetic that supports sexual sin, basically.
Yes.
And so here's a youth pastor who is personally believing that, but not telling his pastor that he believed that.
Yes. We had fortune
to have a youth pastor in a church that believed that way. When a young person came to them struggling with same-sex feelings, I would hate to think the counsel he got. You know, I really appreciate your ministry at our Holy Spirit conference at Green Lake in the summer, where you minister truth in love to students and teenagers who are struggling and questioning not only their own personal lives, but also the issues that they're learning about in school. I thank God for you, Phillips, who's someone who has been redeemed and speaks the truth in love.
Well, to God be the glory, because as you know, and I have just recently celebrated 33 years of freedom from same-sex attraction, all because of Jesus Christ. So is change possible? Yes, change is possible because God says it is.
Praise you, Jesus. I'll never forget when you and I teamed up, and I think we talked about this not too long ago, but just you and I teamed up with on Humboldt State University campus in a recital auditorium,
yes.
And got to share our personal testimonies how Jesus Christ sets us free. You know, the issue isn't orientation to sin. Everybody has an orientation to sin of one kind or another. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all of us are guilty of sinning. That's not the issue. Mm-hmm. The issue was, is there a solution to the sin problem? And thanks be to God, Jesus Christ took the guilt, the responsibility of our sins, and broke the power of sin in our lives and set us free.
And you know what? You know what, Clay? Had it not been for Christians, and again, 33 years ago when I entered church for the first time in my life, and I said goodbye to gay and all that that entailed, had it not been for Christians not apologizing for or watering down the truth of God's word, and sometimes what they said to me was pretty hard to hear, but I knew they ultimately had my best, they wanted the very, very best for me, so they were not withholding the truth of his word. And I'll tell you again, I'm so glad to this day that they did not lower the bar on what God had to say on this subject matter.
Oh, no kidding. I mean, just think today of someone who has bought into this new ethic that you're okay to stay in your sinful lifestyle. Just think, if you had gotten that counsel then, how differently your life would have been. But you have helped thousands of people and trained thousands of Christians through your seminars and your radio program. You've been able to speak the truth from a vantage point of someone who has been redeemed, who gives hope to people that feel enslaved and trapped by sinful lifestyles. And it's so exciting to see how God is using you for such a time as this.
Well, you know what? I think ultimately, regardless of what the habit may be, what form of brokenness, whatever form of addiction, at the end of the day, you've got to make a decision. Which do I want more? It, whatever that it may be, or Jesus?
That's it. You have to choose. You've got to choose. I think of that story about the monkey hunter. He hollowed out a coconut and put a pebble inside the coconut shell. And a monkey comes along. He has the coconut tied to a rope around the tree. And a monkey comes along and he shakes the coconut and hears the stone, puts his hand down in there and grabs the pebble, and of course is now a fist, and he tries to pull his hand out and he can't get it out. He can't get it out until he releases the pebble and opens his hand, and then he can slide his hand out. We have got to choose. Will it be the sin I want to hold on to? For so many people, it's pornography. Yes. So many people struggle with that. But you can't have pornography and Jesus. You've got to let it go and let him give you the grace and the power, which he longs to do,
to be free. One of my primary concerns, and there's more than one, I've got several concerns, but my primary concern today has been and continues to be, if we, the church, if we do not speak up on this critical issue, we're going to continue to see the denigration of biblical authority. I mean, the Word of God today is under relentless bombardment and assault. We're going to continue to see, possibly lose, if we haven't already, the loss of a coherent definition of family. And we will continue to see, God forbid, the exploitation of children. The church holds the only answer there is to this present crisis that we face. And we hold the answer in our hands, which is contained within God's word. But we've got to share it.
Absolutely. You know, of the forces that shape our culture and the forces that shape the church, I'm looking at the church now and the forces that in our culture that are impacting the church. If confidence in the authority of Scripture isn't foremost among all those forces, then we will be shaped by the spirit of the age. I look at the ideological shaping forces, and if you follow leftist ideology, you certainly, many of those have now, that used to redefine marriages between a man and a woman, many have changed their minds because the ideology that they had allowed to be first and foremost have overruled the authority of Scripture, and they found a way to justify and interpret it. The same is true with the relativism of truth. You know, what's true? And well, my truth, your truth. Yes. If Christians start kind of being influenced by that more than the absolute truth, the objective truth of God and His Word. Truth doesn't mean my opinion. It means that which corresponds to reality, the way things really are.
Yes.
And God is the one who tells us the truth. When Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life," He was saying not only were His words that described reality true, but He was also saying His life incarnates truth at every level and every dimension, and His lifestyle was consistent with what He taught. And so He is the way, the truth, not a way, a truth, the way, the truth, the life. And if we bring Jesus down to part of a religious smorgasbord, well, for me, Jesus is my truth, but for someone else, a Buddhist is true, and Islam is true for somebody else, all roads lead to God. If people succumb to that kind of worldview, they have lost. Well, they've lost truth, they've lost the Holy Spirit, and they've lost any possibility of being salt and light in our culture.
Yes.
And we cannot allow relativism of truth or ideological forces or fear of being thought unloving. There are so many forces coming against the church. But we have got to stand in love. We've got to trust God or His Holy Spirit to help us incarnate His love, His truth, and be anointed by His power.
Yes.
The church must stand in this hour. If we don't, there'll be another Dark Ages.
I agree. No matter how strongly we may be opposed to the homosexual agenda and all of its aspects, I would submit that we are first of all called to be Christians who have the privilege of representing Christ to all communities of the world, regardless of color, class, nationality, gender, or sexual orientation. And here's where I find myself scratching my head daily, Clay, and I'm seriously on a daily basis. What is causing so many to adopt the silent mode today? Say nothing, do nothing. I simply don't understand. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think one thing is just fear of being rejected or fear of being overwhelmed because you don't have the answers. And the church has been doing a very inadequate job in educating their people. Like I said, most pastors don't want to talk about this issue because they don't want to appear unloving, and they don't want to drive away unbelievers who need Jesus. So they're just silent, and while they're preserving their potential to be a witness, they are not educating their own people to be articulate. And the church has got to do a better job of training people. Now, I just forgot your question. Could you remind me?
I was asking about why you think so many have adopted the silent mode regarding what's going on today.
Well, I think...
But I think you touched on it. I mean, you mentioned the word fear, and I would submit...
I would submit
that a spirit of fear has infiltrated the body of Christ on this topic.
Oh, I think so, too, because if you say something, you can be labeled unloving, homophobic, all those kinds of things that nobody wants to be thought of.
Right.
Just to be clear, Jesus loves everybody, and there's not like one sin is terrible and the rest are, you know, less terrible. The sin nature is disgusting in all of us. There's enough sin in any one of us to ruin any church. I have no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus died for our sins, He took all the guilt and cleansed us and broke the power of sin and gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, so we don't have to depend on our own efforts to try to be righteous and holy. We depend and rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
But I think people are afraid because, number one, they don't want to be called unloving. Number two, they don't know enough about it. They're not trained. The pastors are not teaching and training and educating. I wish every church in America would have you or somebody who has a ministry like yours to train and to help people understand how to love people and yet offer them truth, like those who discipled you, led you to Christ, discipled you, how they helped you to be a world changer. Hmm. And there's so much fear that comes from from fear of rejection, lack of knowledge, and feeling afraid to stand up. It's like the current of the movement in our culture is so strong, people are afraid to stand up to it.
Yes. And I'd like to encourage all of our listeners that when we defend the Lordship of Christ and we defend the authority of Scripture on this subject matter being homosexual practice, when we defend what God has clearly said, that no man or woman is to practice this particular behavior, not unlike many others, we are not being hateful, we're not being a bigot, we're not being homophobic. We are indeed protecting God's character and the authority of His Word. And that's really how I see it.
Amen. Amen.
But today we know that, I mean, there are those that are still practicing homosexuality, embrace the gay identity. God still loves them, but He's still on the throne, and He's still beckoning for us to come and surrender to Him, because change is possible. And change is possible not because Philip Lee said so, but God says so in His Word. And the classic scriptural passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, when we ultimately, in verse 11, we hear some of the sweetest words contained in the entire Word of God. The verse says, "And this is what some of you were," past tense. God has, He is, and He will continue to set men and women free from the bondage of same-sex attraction because He's faithful to His Word. Amen?
Amen. Praise God. There's a website. It's called Change Something. But how many, many people give testimonies of how Christ has set them free,
yes,
from homosexual lifestyles. You know, there are many testimonies that God has set free from heterosexual sinful lifestyles as well. So God does transform people's lives. I love that verse. Such were some of you.
Yes.
But you've been made new. You've been made a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come.
You've been justified. You've been sanctified, all for the, yes, glory of God. So God says clearly in His Word, change is possible. Regardless of what the world is preaching and teaching on the subject, God says, yes, come to Me. Transformation is possible through Me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Biblically speaking, we're going to come back now to love, which we shared with one another on the program last week. Biblically speaking, love is not defined as a license to legitimize sinful behavior of any kind, but love helps us to see that there is a better way, and that better way is always God's way.
Amen.
But in matters of sexuality, many have fallen to, my feelings are governing what I'm deciding and how I see myself. My feelings are right about this, and God needs to agree with me. That's a syndrome, unfortunately, that many have succumb to today, and our feelings lie to us all the times. I mean, the feelings I have throughout just one day that lied to me enough, oh my gosh, that's enough to get me in deep, deep trouble. So I've got to come back to the truth of Scripture, which again is what we seem to be coming back to on this whole topic as we discussed last week and even again this morning. Amen?
Yes. Amen. Amen. Yeah, people, if you go on your feelings, I mean, our culture's just gone crazy because we've thrown away absolute truth. So now truth can be defined more subjectively. And if a 5-foot-tall Asian woman feels like a 6-foot-8-inch Mexican man, nobody's going to argue, so to speak. I mean, you can go on university campuses and interview students today. And I saw one done. He said, I feel like I'm a 5-foot-tall Asian woman. Can you affirm that that's who I am? Mm-hmm. And the student looked, well, this guy was really big. Obviously not a woman. But they were afraid to say that he wasn't that. So now you've got men who think they're women winning female athlete contests and winning trophies and winning prizes. I don't know where this is going to end, but one of these days women are going to wake up and say, hey, this is not fair.
Yes.
Just because someone says, I feel like a woman, therefore I'm a woman, and competes against women in athletic events where men have natural strength beyond a woman's natural strength, there's craziness going on.
Yes.
Craziness.
Yes. Well, in terms of same-sex marriage, once again, we've got to come back to God's Word. And I'll emphasize one more time, every biblical example of marriage in God's Word is always between a man and a woman. There are no exceptions. None whatsoever. And Clay, you know what? We're almost out of time again. Before we are completely out of time, I'm going to give you the opportunity, please. Would you pray for those listening in, those who may be struggling with same-sex attraction? There may be some listening this morning that are even involved. They're in a marriage, same-sex marriage. Would you take a few moments, please, and pray?
Absolutely. You know, the Holy Spirit was quickening that to my heart before you said it.
Good. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we ask you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to go out. We pray you will break sexual bondages, break sexual dependencies on sin nature. We pray you'd break one flesh bonds of sin. We pray you'd set the captives free. We rebuke Satan away in the name of Jesus. We pray you'd break every addiction to pornography, to sexual sin of any kind. We pray you'd break its power in Jesus' name. And Lord, shower the people who are listening with your love, how much you love them. And love them enough that you sent Jesus to take the burden from them, to take the sins off of them so that they might be new creations in Christ.
Yes.
And Lord, we just pray for your salvation to reign. And we lift up our country that we love so much. We pray that your kingdom will come and your will be done.
Yes.
In this place, across our nation and throughout the nations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen and amen. Sir, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks so much for what you've shared. Blessings on you and all your ministry.
Thank you so much, Philip. I love and admire and respect you and your ministry so much.
Well, right back at you, my friend. For all of our listeners, if you'd like more information about His Way Out Ministries, please visit our website, which is HisWayOut.com. That will also take you to our Facebook page, where we are posting daily articles, videos, testimonies. All the information, both on Facebook and our website, are there for you to use. Please feel free to download and copy all the information there. His Way Out Ministries continues to offer biblical discipleship, a variety of support care groups. We also offer a list of various workshops that are all designed to equip, encourage, and educate the body of Christ to minister transformingly to those individuals, both men and women, struggling with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We also offer a wealth of materials, again, for the body of Christ to be better equipped to help those that are struggling with this particular form of brokenness. To all of our listeners, thanks so much for joining me again this morning. Until next week, same time, same station, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.